You know, it kind of goes without saying that not all of us are able to practice everything that the gospel preaches, but I feel compelled to issue a disclaimer this morning saying this homily refers to an ideal way of living and acting, and no one I know, and certainly not me, is able to look at the world the way the gospel asks us to do today, all the time. It asks us to think of ourselves as being totally dependent on the grace of God. Totally dependent on the grace of God, much like Francis was. Being Christian is not easy, especially when it asks us to confront some of our core attitudes toward the world. Having said all that, let's move on. You know, the readings today refer to how much the Lord's wisdom surpasses our own categories of value and judgment. The prophet Isaiah exhorts his people to search actively for the Lord. He reminds his people that the Lord's way is not obvious to us, and it need to be sought while we have the opportunity. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Paul shows us the spirit of true Christian service. He would prefer to be with Christ, but he knows that his present work in the vineyard is more necessary for your benefit or Christ's benefit. And Matthew's gospel today, I already alluded to, presents us with a parable that demonstrates to us the difference between our spontaneous judgments and God's ways. Grace and the desire to take credit for things that are really God's gifts. From the earlier labor's point of view, you know, if we do more, our natural reaction is to claim more for ourselves than the latecomers who do less. And the parable reminds us that service in God's vineyard is selfless. It is God's wisdom and will to save all who want to join us. And that should also be our intention. For our participation in the vineyard, if truly done for the love of God and for the salvation of others, is rewarded by the latecomer's entrance into the kingdom. That is our wage of grace. And the fact that we can get rankled by the Lord's generosity is a sign of our own self-centeredness, which clouds our judgment from discovering the Lord's ways. Now, I think the lesson Jesus wants us to learn is that God's generosity goes beyond even our wildest comprehension. His thoughts are not our thoughts, nor are his ways our ways. For to pay these hired workers a full day's wage for only a few hours' work is the epitome of generosity. There is no other reason for it. He does it simply because he's generous. He's deeply concerned about these men, the landowner is, and capable of helping them, so he does it. Think about this in a way how God does this. God continually goes out to his people, continually, at dawn, 9 o'clock, noon, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, all the time, offering people salvation. He wants us to be close to him. He wants us to be saved. You know, you may know that Palestine's day laborers at the time had no steady work and no steady income. Some estimates have the peasant class making up 90% or better of the population. So the hearers of this parable would really identify with this story. You know, if a worker was still waiting to be given work late in the day, he was probably resigned to another hungry evening for themselves and their families. And they would understand only a man with a truly generous heart would take the trouble to put them to work with only an hour remaining until sundown. And only an extraordinary generous man would pay them a full day's wage. That's God, the extraordinary landowner. The history of salvation is the story of his boundless giving. First, he gives us life. Then he gives us hope of salvation. Then, with the incarnation, he gives us redemption. And finally, to those who work faithfully in his vineyard according to his will, he gives them eternal life, here and now and hereafter. And we don't earn any of it. It's all a gift. You know, God is this font of generous love, overflowing and never drying up. You know, and as last-minute recipients of his generosity, as we are, he provides us with the opportunity to make a real contribution to the eternal happiness of ourselves and our neighbors through loving him, serving others, and building up the church. That is our mission. When we help others come closer to Christ through our words, prayers, and example, we are increasing the everlasting joys of God's grace for them and for us. This is the privilege Christ has generously given us by making us his fellow recipients of grace in God's kingdom. So given all that as a backdrop and to try to hammer this point home, let's come back for a moment to this concept of fairness, human fairness, which the people of the parable are saying is not being observed. You know, it's a very understandable position in our way of thinking. And what can we take away from that? What should be apparent is that the people who labor in the heat of the day, the all-day worker, are missing something, and that is what I think we should learn from them. We cannot think of the spiritual life or one's relationship with God as all about notable things one has achieved. You know, the things we try to take credit for. You know, for God is not likely to be bowled over by human accomplishments or taking credit, you know, can be perceived sometimes as arrogance, not recognizing our true dependence on God. The service we do today is not a bill we will later offer God. It is a gift to us, like everything else. So when the parable of the vineyard was first told, it could have referred to the early converted Jews who felt left out or cheated because Jesus was welcoming those slobbering sinners, you know, and nasty tax collectors to the dinner table and to the reign of God. They couldn't believe that Jesus was allowing them in to participate in the kingdom. They didn't deserve it. And when the Gospel of Matthew was written down some 40 or 50 years later after the resurrection, the parable was probably told because good Christian Jews resented the fact that there were newcomers, converted Gentiles, who were given equal status in the Christian community. They didn't deserve it. But today, we need to know that this parable is not about fair wages or justice. It's about grace. Do we deserve the grace we are given? It's a good thing God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. The parable asks us to look at our lives and focus on how much of our lives is filled with gifts from God, unmerited, unwarranted gifts, not as payment for services rendered. We need to look at all spheres of our life, work, family, life, extracurricular activities, and even church life to see how much of it is a gift. Thinking about our life in this way frees us from worrying about how much we're going to get and how much others are getting. We trust God's grace is enough. The parable asks us also to consider that God's grace is something that is not given to those who feel entitled to special treatment. It's about grace extended to all.